Podcast. The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved. Johannesburg, December the 5th, 9:17 a.m. On the second floor of the Excelsior Hotel in Bree Street, a man, Jack Goodman, walks to the ladies' bathroom. He stops outside the closed door, and from within, he hears music and splashing.
Rose! Rose!
Who is it?
It's me, Jack.
Why?
Turn the radio down, man. I can't hear myself think. Rose! Rose, turn the wireless down, man. Stop playing the guinea goat. I've got to go out, uptown. Rose, are you all right? Rose!
Morning, Jack.
Morning, Basil.
What's the matter?
Ach, it's Rose messing me about. Please, Rose, man, I've got to go now and I must talk to you. Oh, so help me, Basil. I'll break this door down in a minute.
Rose, it's me, Basil. I don't have to replace this door.
Now, come on now, Rose. Jack wants to talk to you.
Is she all right in there?
Yeah, man, I've spoken to her once. Rose, for goodness sake!
It's not like Rose to play games.
You don't know her like I know her.
Rose, if you don't answer, I'm going to have to open the door.
There's something wrong.
Never.
Now, what am I going to do?
Well, what's the matter?
Well, I can't get the key in from this side. You see, the key's in the lock on the other side. We're going to have to break it down.
Rose, I'll break your neck if you're having us on.
Now, come on, Jack. Use your shoulder.
Right.
Together.
Yep.
Again. One more.
Rose. For Pete's sake, Rose.
No, don't touch her.
Why?
Not unless you want to shock.
You mean the radio?
Yeah, of course. I told her about bringing that radio in here. She wouldn't listen.
Oh, I better get a doctor.
Yeah. It won't do much good, though.
Must tell the police as well.
The police?
Of course. You stay here. I'll go phone.
9:32 a.m. Having filled in his SAP 280 form with the details of the call, the constable who received it takes it through to the Frequency 1 transmitting room and hands it to the control operator.
Right, constable. Control to car 5. Come in, number 5. Over.
5 to control. I'm receiving you. Over.
State your position, please. Over.
We're cruising south down Troy Street between President and Market Streets. Over.
Proceed to the Excelsior Hotel in Bree Street. Investigate a report that a woman has been electrocuted in her bath. Over.
5 to control. Received. Over and out.
9:36 a.m. Constables Gallagher and Cachet, the crew of squad car number 5, arrive at their destination. The owner, Basil Raphael, meets them and takes them upstairs to where the tragedy has occurred.
She's a resident here. She and her husband have been with me for about 2.5 years on and off.
Did you call a doctor?
Oh, yeah, just as a matter of course. Nothing he could do.
Did you apply artificial respiration?
No.
You should have. That's the first thing to do.
Oh, I didn't think about that. She was lying in the bath with her head underwater. Naturally, I presume she was dead.
How did it happen?
She always took a radio in the bathroom with her.
Well, a portable wouldn't kill her.
That's not a portable. Well, leastways it is, but it runs off the mains. It's a little table radio.
Well, she was asking for it, wasn't she?
She was told about it often enough, but she wouldn't listen. She used to laugh. Yeah, this is it.
Good morning, officer.
Morning.
Oh, this is Mr. Goodman, Rosie's husband.
Is a doctor here?
No, not yet.
Well, let's have a look. Yeah, is this radio safe?
Well, it is now. I turned it off at the switch.
I don't know. The silly things people do.
Yeah.
Didn't she know it was dangerous?
Well, heaven knows I told her often enough. Very strong-willed was Rose.
What's the procedure, Constable?
The doctor must see her first.
And then?
We'll get an ambulance to take her to the mortuary.
Is that necessary?
Yes, I'm afraid it is. They'll do a post-mortem as a matter of routine. It's always the way in cases like this.
Poor Rose. We used to argue enough. Fight a bit sometimes. But I loved her. It's going to be funny without her.
What's your first name, Mr. Goodman?
Jack.
And you're a resident at the hotel here?
Yeah, that's right.
Was it you who found her?
Yeah. Mr. Raphael was with me.
You broke the door down and she was just lying there?
Yeah, that's right. The way she is now.
Well, I'll go and report in.
And what'll happen then?
They'll send somebody from the murder squad.
Murder squad? What for?
Oh, purely routine, sir. Nothing to worry about. Until he arrives, the officer from the murder squad, nothing's to be touched.
10:47 a.m. Lieutenant Jack Labuschagne arrives at the Excelsior Hotel and makes his way to the second floor, to the bathroom there. By this time, quite a crowd has collected.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Constable. Get rid of these people. Everybody who's not associated with the case.
Right, sir. Come along now, please. Move along.
Hello, Basil.
Hello, Jack. How are you?
Can't complain. Now, let's see. Mrs. Rose Goodman. Is that Jack's wife?
Yeah.
Ah, poor Rose. Big Rose, one of Joburg's characters.
Yeah, she'll be missed.
Where's Jack?
He's in the bar. Said he needed a drink.
How's he taking it?
He seems all right.
Yes, he's a tough one, that.
Shame. Old Rose used to belt him, you know.
Did she?
Oh, she was big enough. She had a right hook that would have made any of the tow heels envious.
Do they fight a lot?
Well, you know it is with people like that. Hard gamblers, hard drinkers. Everything they do in a big way. If they have a quarrel, it's a vendetta. Everything larger than life.
Do you think this accident is kosher?
What do you mean?
Couldn't be a put-up job?
Oh, you cops, talk about nasty minds. I was there when it happened. Well, almost there. I was just coming along the balcony from the lift, and I see Jack knocking on the bathroom door. I heard him asking her to turn the radio down. I had a little laugh to myself because, well, you know it was between those two. One minute they was all lovey-dovey, the next they were trying to knock the stuffing out of each other. And Rose was always clowning around. Wouldn't have been Rose if she wasn't. I saw Jack getting all desperate. You know how worked up he gets. And I thought it was Rose having him on. When she didn't answer me, I knew there was something wrong.
Had to break the door down, eh?
Well, the key was on the inside. I couldn't get my key in.
Well, we'll just take some routine photographs when members of my staff arrive and I'll take the radio.
You'll need that for the inquest, will you?
Yeah. Exhibit A.
I suppose because she was in the water, the shock was much greater, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not very scientifically inclined. I don't understand it. How does it work?
Well, if you touch the bare wire with your finger in ordinary circumstances, you'll get a shock. But it's more than likely that you'd survive.
Why?
Well, in the first place, the shock, 10-1, would knock your hand away, breaking the contact.
Yeah.
In the second place, only a very small area of your body is involved. So the resistance to the current is much higher.
Yeah, I see.
Now, take poor Rose. Now, she was sitting in a bath full of water. She must have touched a live connection with her hand, and practically her whole body conducted electricity. Water being such a good conductor.
Shame. What a way to go, eh?
2:09 p.m. The Murder Squad headquarters, Brixton. Lieutenant Labuschagne walks into a workshop and addresses Sergeant Liebenberg.
Good afternoon, Sergeant.
Afternoon, sir.
And how did you get on Saturday?
Oh, we won. 22 points to 19.
Uh-huh. Sound like a tight game.
It was terrific. What can I do for you? You want your radio fixed, sir?
No. I want you to have a look at this. And tell me what's wrong with it.
Doesn't work, eh?
No, it works all right, I think. But be careful. There's some kind of short on it. It killed a woman in her bath this morning.
Oh? Well, that was bad luck.
Yeah, well, I'm wondering. This is a woman who's been taking this radio into the bathroom with her every morning for the last couple of years. And all of a sudden, she's electrocuted.
Silly thing to do.
Now, why this morning? Why not yesterday morning? Why didn't it happen 6 months ago?
Do you suspect foul play?
You know, Sergeant, very often something has said to me that all isn't well. It's something that sits on my shoulder and whispers in my ear. Some folks might call it sixth sense. I don't know what it is, but I've got it. I want you to have a look at this radio for me.
Sure.
I want to know how the deceased, a woman called Rose Goodman, came to get a fatal shock off this radio.
Easily done if she was fiddling with it with wet hands. It happens in kitchens very often, turning the electric kettle off or the iron.
Well, I don't know much about these things, but I would have thought that she'd need to touch a live wire or something. Now, anybody can see there isn't one. Not visibly, anyway.
Well, let's have a look. We'll plug it in for a start and switch it on.
Careful, man.
I'll watch it. I'll use this to see if there's any current about. No. Oh, nothing here. And see on this side? No, nothing here either. So we'll switch it off. Now, open the back. And see what we can find here. Run some juice through it. Give it a touch here and... No. Oh, that's all right. And here... Hey. Huh. That's funny.
What is it?
This spindle's live.
Now, what's that for?
Oh, it's the volume control.
Is that the spindle to which the volume control knob is attached?
Yes.
So, if I touch the knob, I'll get a shock.
I don't see how you could. The knob's plastic.
Oh.
But there's something funny here, sir. Somebody's made a mess of this.
Why?
Well, there's a lead from the power input, a little wire, soldered onto the volume control spindle.
Now, what's that, the earth?
Never. Now, the earth goes along the wire to the power source, the plug.
So, what's this extra bit of wire for?
Somebody's been monkeying with this radio. Recently, too. See, the solder's new.
So, somebody has interfered with the wiring?
Correct, sir.
And it's my guess that somebody wanted Rose Goodman out of the way.
Do you think she was murdered, then?
It certainly looks like it.
Cockney of the murder squad and Sergeant Liebenberg are still in the workshop at headquarters, Brixton.
But I don't see how. I told you, sir, you can't get a shock off the volume control knob. It's made of plastic. Plastic doesn't conduct electricity.
Well, let's have a look at it. Switch it off, Sergeant. I don't want to catch a shock. Now then, let's see. Through the magnifying glass, you can see scratches on the head of the little brass screw which holds the knob into the spindle. You see? This little countersunk screw here.
Yes, sir.
Now, what conclusion can we draw from that, do you think?
Well, I'd say this screw has been tampered with recently.
Let's have another look. Yes. Yes. They're the sort of marks a screwdriver would make. A little screwdriver. The notch in the screw is damaged.
They very often get like that when they're stuck and you have to exert a lot of pressure. Brass is soft, sir. It marks and bends very easily.
Yes, but this notch in the screw is damaged on both sides. What does that mean?
That has been unscrewed and then screwed up again, tight.
Tight with a screwdriver.
It's on tight, all right.
Well, that's certainly something to puzzle about. I don't know what to make of it.
There's been some funny business somewhere.
But how? If my hand was wet and I touched that knob and the water off my fingers filled that little cavity where the screw is, would that be enough of a contact to give me a serious shock?
It might be, sir.
But it wouldn't be a sure thing.
No.
Now, how could I make it a sure thing?
Well, if that screw which secures the knob to the spindle were longer...
That's it, of course. Yes, that's what happened. I'll bet you anything you like, the little screw was removed, replaced by a longer screw, possibly long enough to stick out above the plastic, and then this little screw was put back again afterwards.
Gee. Yeah, you've got to take your hat off to a bloke who dreams something up like that. It's fantastic.
Clever, eh?
Any ideas about who did it?
Not yet. But I should have before I'm much older.
4:03 p.m. Upon his return to the Excelsior Hotel with various members of the robbery squad staff, Lieutenant Lubbers Cockney asks the owner, Basil Raphael, to accompany him to the scene of Rose Goodman's death.
I want you to show us where Rose Goodman would have plugged her radio in.
Oh, that's easy. There's always the same wall plug in the passage. The one the boys use for their vacuum cleaners. Yeah, this one here. She plugged the radio in here, and the flex went under the bathroom door.
Right. Sergeant.
Sir?
I want that plug checked for fingerprints.
Right, sir.
Now, is there somewhere you and I can have a little private chat, Basil?
Sure. Number 28's vacant. We can go in there. Come on.
Right.
What's going on?
Oh, I don't quite know yet. I'm hoping you can help me on that score.
Me?
Is this it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there you are.
Oh, thanks.
Sit there. Make yourself at home.
Thank you.
Now, what's this all about?
Who didn't get on with Rose around here?
Oh, nobody. Everybody liked Rose. What is all this?
I have reason to believe that Rose's death wasn't accidental.
You're joking.
I wish I were.
That means she was murdered.
I think so.
But how? It's impossible. I was there when it all happened. I'd been upstairs to see how Eric was getting on. Just popped in for a cup of coffee and a smoke.
Yeah?
Anyway, as I left the flat and came to the lift, I saw Jack knocking on the bathroom door. And I heard Rose asking who it was. You know, she said, who is it? Well, and Jack said it was him, and Rose asked him what he wanted. The wireless was going, and Jack said for her to turn the radio down because he couldn't hear her proper.
Ah. Did she talk after that?
No. But, I mean, well, how can it be murder? She was locked in the bathroom all by herself. I can vouch for that.
You were a nice, convenient witness, weren't you?
Well, I just happened to be there at that time.
Rose and Jack, have they quarreled a lot lately?
Huh, no more than usual. They always quarreled.
Anything, in particular just lately?
Now, look, I don't want to make any trouble for anybody.
Just tell me what you know, Basil. I'll be the judge of that.
Oh, about 2 weeks ago, we got a new resident. She's a flashy blonde divorcee. Until lately, she was knocking about with a boxing promoter. Anyway, he kicked her out, and she come here to stay.
And she and Jack have taken a shine to each other.
Yeah.
And what was Rose's reaction to that?
Oh, she was just jealous at first. She made a crack here and dropped a remark there, but it didn't look serious. And then last week, Jack and Rose had a scrap. It was late at night. Well, after closing time. And I could hear the furniture going and the yelling. I had to separate them.
Who was winning?
And Rose. She's a big woman. I'll tell you, I wouldn't like her to clout me.
The thing simmered down after that?
On the surface, yeah.
But you reckon things were cooking up underneath?
Oh, when you've been in the hotel business as long as I have, you get to know people pretty well. You're aware of atmospheres.
So, what do you think happened after the fight?
Jack and the blonde still fancy each other, but he was terrified of Rose. He was remembering the hiding she'd given him.
Mm. She really stitched him up, right?
Yeah. If it hadn't been so serious, it would have been funny.
Anything else you can tell me?
I think I've said too much as it is.
Who has the room next to the Goodmans?
Which side?
Nearest the bathroom.
Let me see. Yes, Jean Norgard.
What does she do?
Oh, she's a hostess at a club.
Is she here now?
Sure to be.
Good. I think I'd like a little chat with, by the way, is she Mrs. or Miss?
She's another divorcee.
Right. If you'll show me her room. And, I'd like to have a word with you, Mrs. Norgard.
Sure.
Well, you won't be needing me for a little while then, eh?
Thanks, Basil.
I'll be downstairs if you want me.
Right. Now then, Mrs. Norgard.
What do you want to know?
What time were you up and about this morning?
Oh, early. Well, early for me, that is. About 8. I had a terrible night last night. Couldn't sleep.
Was there noise from next door?
No, not last night. I think it must have been something I ate.
Did you see anything of Mr. and Mrs. Goodman this morning?
Yes, I saw them both.
Under what circumstances? What were they doing?
Well, I saw Jack first. I'd been in the other bathroom and I came out and bumped into Jack, going into the other one, the other ladies. Oh, morning, Jack.
Oh, morning, Jean.
Taking Rose's radio into the bathroom for her?
Yeah. I thought I'd spoil her a bit today, you know. Run a bath and have her radio going, just the way she likes it.
That's very sweet. Nobody ever looked after me like that.
Because you've been backing losers, that's why.
Yeah, I need a change of luck. That's all we said to each other.
Did Jack usually put the radio in the bathroom for Rose?
I never saw him do it before.
And you saw Rose go to the bathroom?
Yes. My door was open, and I heard Jack talking as he led Rose into the bathroom. They were laughing. I don't know what he said, and I don't know what they were laughing about.
Was the radio going at the time?
Yes, full bore.
Uh-huh. Now, what do you think they were talking about as they went to the bathroom?
Well, I suppose he was showing off, you know, wanting a pat on the back for being a sweet husband, for spoiling her.
I see. All right, Mrs. Nogop. Thanks for your help.
Help?
Oh, yes, undoubtedly. Sorry to bother you again, Basil.
No, it's all right.
But there's something else I need to know from you. Who actually called the flying squad?
Well, I did.
Did you leave Jack with Rose while you went downstairs?
Yes.
The radio was still going after you'd broken down the door?
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, Basil, I want you to think very carefully. Remember just the way it was. When you went back upstairs to the bathroom, having phoned the flying squad, was the radio on or off?
It was off.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. It was making such a row when we broke the door down that normal conversation was quite difficult. Yet it was definitely off when I got back.
Right. Well, I think it's time I had a little chat with Mr. Jack Goodman.
Yeah, but I don't understand what's going on.
I think I've got a pretty clean picture of the way it was.
You think Jack killed Rose?
I don't think. I know he did.
But how?
I know that, too. Sergeant.
Sir?
Did you check that plug for prints?
Oh, yes, sir. There is a thumbprint on the switch.
Clear and distinctive?
Oh, yes, sir. A double loop.
Right. Now, come with me, please.
Yes, sir.
Right, here we are. Mr. Jack Goodman?
Yes?
I want a word with you.
Oh, but
you sit down there. There are one or two questions you have to answer, and there are one or two things I have to find.
Now, wait a minute. Up.
Sit down. Sergeant, take his fingerprints.
Right, sir.
Now, listen, you can't come barging in here.
I know my rights, Mr. Goodman. What were you before you became a professional gambler?
I did a lot of things. The clothing salesman. I was in the furniture business.
Did you ever run a radio repair shop?
No.
Did you work in one? Now, just be careful what you say, because we can always check your answers.
Well, for a little while, when I was a kid, I helped my Uncle Avery. He had a small electrician's business. Now, what are you doing looking in there?
Sit down.
Ah, and what have we here? Small screwdriver, flex, solder, soldering iron, and most important of all, one small brass screw. This is what killed your wife.
Don't talk rubbish, man.
Yes, it is, and I can prove it. I'm sure this little screw will fit the plastic knob on your wife's radio. I'm also sure that when I tried, it'll be too long. In other words, the head will protrude above the surface of the knob. It screws onto the volume control spindle, which someone, you, made live by soldering a piece of wire to it from the main electricity supply.
You're out of your mind.
That may be so, but I'm sure I'm right. You wanted Rose out of the way so that you'd be free to play with your blonde girlfriend. You were afraid of Rose because physically she was capable of giving you a hiding. I've got to hand it to you. The imagination you used to get rid of Rose was worthy of Agatha Christie. You rigged the radio with a long screw. You put it in the bathroom, switch it on. And that meant that the volume control was live. You set it at the level your wife normally had it playing, and when you were sure that she was in the bath and that there was somebody about who would see you knocking on the door, you called to your wife and asked her to turn the radio down under the pretext that you couldn't hear what she was saying. When your wife was dead and you had broken into the bathroom and Basil Raphael went downstairs to dial 30, you switched the current off of the wall plug, unscrewed the long brass screw, this one here, and put back the original short grub screw. Very cunning. You almost got away with it. You might have, if it hadn't been for that little something that sits on my shoulder and whispers in my ear.
Besides the policeman's intuition, there were other factors which led to Jack Goodman's conviction. The crime laboratories proved that the wire in the radio, which had been soldered onto the volume control spindle to render the knob lethal, was the same as the wire found in the drawer of the bedside table in Goodman's hotel room. The solder matched, too, and the thumbprint was Goodman's. After a lengthy trial, Goodman was condemned to death. He was subsequently hanged. They prowl the empty streets at night, waiting. In fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence, these men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. These are the men of Squad Cars.